Greetings, comrades. You listen to Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast Special now, or you be taken to hostel.
Da, das vadai da.
He pronounced that horribly wrong.
And just as our Russian correspondent, Brian Powers, has alluded to, you are listening to episode number 95 of the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel podcast. First and foremost, let's get introductions out of the way. I am your host, as always, Comrade Iggy. Joining me tonight, first and foremost, Arnold. Arnold, welcome to the show.
Yo.
And the man who can see into the future, Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
Hi.
And, of course, the man who represents the people, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
But aren't you a capitalist whore, considering your whole thing is greed?
Yeah, I just do impressions. I don't really commit to any philosophy.
Larfily sucks. So let's move on to...
That's not fair.
We are the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel podcast.
This is a Marvel show. You can't bring that shit in here.
Breaking the fourth wall. We are Marvel...
Hold on, before we start, can I say Michael Bay sucks horribly?
That was just a known fact. I thought everyone knew that.
I didn't mean to say that. There's a reason why I decided to go. We didn't do the Turtles thing, but whatever.
Freaking Turtles.
Apparently, aliens equals mutants, but whatever.
That theme song was a lie to you, children. You were lied to for years.
We are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, whether that's comics, movies, TV, video games, cartoons, toys, episode 100 coming, porn. So look for that. We are 5 weeks away if we keep on schedule.
Woo!
And, you know, unless Captain Bitches over there doesn't want to show up, we're pretty much going to hit that mark. But we'll get into that later.
Hit it and quit it.
First and foremost, okay, guys, apparently there's this indie film coming out this May. Literally, nobody's talking about it.
Really? What's it about?
Apparently this movie called The Avengers is coming out this May. It's by a up-and-coming young
Never heard
guy,
of it.
Joss Whedon. I don't know if you heard about this guy.
I don't know this
guy. Avenging?
But
please explain.
What the hell did this happen?
Apparently there's a big giant green man, and a guy with a bow and arrow, and a chick with a tiny gun, and some patriot
Justice
man.
Justice League?
It's madness! Sheer madness!
Alright, Spartacus. Anyways,
we're
going to talk about the Avengers Japanese trailer, because it showed some extra footage. Apparently Pepper Potts is going to be in this movie, briefly, because they showed her cameo. They could have easily just stolen footage from Iron Man 2.
Did they show her peppering a pot?
Hello?
I can do that anyway.
Anyway, so she's in it, and we got our first glimpse at the helicarrier. Apparently, we've seen it all along, but it's that big ocean. What do you call those things in the ocean?
It's an aircraft carrier.
There you go, Mr. Navy man.
My dad was
it turns into a helicarrier, so that was pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. Let's see the helicarrier live and look pretty... Oh, my God. I'm sorry, people. This movie's going to fucking kick ass. I hate to say it. I don't know what else to say about this. Other than the helicarrier and everything about this movie...
Awesome!
I think I nailed it last show. Jizz in our pants. That's it. This movie is... full, chock full of win and awesomeness. I don't think anything more needs to be said. You know, as a matter of fact, I suggest everybody within the sound of the interwebs, don't wear underwear. get the largest size of the pens that you can, you know, reasonably fit, and wear those. So this way you don't, you won't mess up your outer clothes, because, and stock up on water. Make sure you have at least 2 to 3 bottles of water, because you'll probably be dehydrated from all of the jizzing.
This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Taser.
Yes.
The more you know in the Starflies
party. Da-da-da-da.
Anyways, so, I mean, there's not much to say. I mean, Amazing Spider-Man, sure, be fun. Dark Knight, sure, it's going to end the franchise and kill Warner Brothers. This...
actually, it's going to kill Bruce Wayne. Spoilers!
Oh, no, no!
We'll talk about that later as I talk about my guest appearance somewhere else. So, yeah, May, what are we less than... we're almost, 8 weeks away now, roughly?
Pretty much, yeah.
We're either 8 to 10... 8 to 10 weeks, guys, away from the biggest movie of all time opening up. And that's not hyperbole. This is the biggest movie of all time.
I think Titanic holds the record of having the biggest
Twilight
movie opening of all time.
I thought it was Superman the Motion Picture.
Back in 1978.
Yes!
The gold. I thought it was Deep Throat the Porno.
All right, you know what? When you bring up porn, you sound like an 11-year-old boy trying to impress his friend, so stop it. Let's.
Am I wrong?
I saw porno.
Are you trying to be Arnold's friend now?
Oh!
Arnold!
Let's move on, because there's really nothing more we can say other than that this movie is going to kick ass, and if you just love awesomeness, you need to see this movie. So let's move on. Apparently, the first convention of the year was this past weekend in WonderCon in lovely Anaheim, California, which I have a strong reason to locate to Anaheim just because of the Mighty Ducks, even though they're not called the Mighty Ducks anymore. Anyways, Flying V, baby. And it turns out there was an announcement that we only care about, or at least maybe Arnold cares, because I don't, fuck the X-Men. Brian Wood, acclaimed indie darling, who, if you read Vertigo or stuff like that, he wrote DMZ, Northlanders. He's currently doing the Wolverine and the X-Men miniseries about Kid Omega and Wolverine. I know he has something else. Either way, he's coming over, and he's going to be taking over both Ultimate Comics X-Men, which is currently under the helm of Nick Spencer, and also Adjectiveless X-Men, the one they relaunched with vampires, and that made the interwebs rejoice, because apparently that means no more vampires in that book. It's going to be...
Hooray!
Thank God.
Because, good Lord, 25 issues, do you think? You would
keep that shit in Blade, man.
You
come
would
on.
You would think that would drop by now. Anyways, so... I think it's a good thing. I'm still not going to pick up Ultimate X-Men War the Damn. Marvel would just drop the damn price point on the digital. I would do it. But I don't know. This is what worries me, is that I think from what I've heard from other people, and specifically Arnold and you, Taser, that Nick Spencer was having a nice groove with the Ultimate Comics X-Men and building into its own, and it seems he's going to get cut off. For some, maybe it's because he has another project somewhere else and he wasn't going to be able to handle the schedule, or who knows. But Brian Wood's a decent writer, I guess. This still isn't going to make me pick up Adjectiveless X-Men. You know, they're interesting moves, but I mean, especially in the heat of AVX, how much room are you going to have to play with that going on? You're not really going to be allowed to do much.
Until after it's over, and even then you're stuck with the aftermath.
Well, yeah, which that's another point from another time. It's meh. I mean, it's the first kind of the year in this, you know. For people who like Brian Wood, I guess check it out. Taser, I'm pretty sure...
they just came when they heard that news. They hyperventilated and shit.
Taser, I'm pretty sure you don't give a shit about any of this.
What were we talking about again?
That answers all right there. But since you're reading Ultimate X-Men, right?
Yeah, and I don't know for how long.
You're still reading that?
You're reading Battle Scars. You have no right to talk.
First of all, I only picked up Battle Scars when Deadpool showed up, and even then I only kept reading because of the Secret Warriors, but that's for later.
Either way, Taser, so you don't care?
No, I don't think Taser cares.
Arnold, what about you? I don't know. I know you read Ultimate Comics X-Men. I don't know if you read Adjectiveless X-Men, but do you care about the new change in writers for both of them?
I'm not sure if I've read anything by Brian Wood, to be completely honest. That aside, him coming on to, what issue is he coming on to Ultimate Comics X-Men?
I think it's like in June, so like 28 or something.
No.
For X-Men. I don't know about Ultimate.
Oh, no, yeah, Ultimate Comics X-Men. So if it does happen in June, it's probably going to be like issue 12 or 13. If it hasn't reached it by yet, and if I'm still picking it up, hopefully he'll actually give the book some sort of direction so we know where this book and this story is supposed to be going. And I dropped Adjectiveless X-Men in the middle of the first arc with all of that Curse of the Vampires bullshit. So I don't know if I have any intention of ever going back, although I think he's changing up the roster. Or it's going to be already changed by the time he gets on it. I know Northstar, Wolverine, and Iceman, and like two or three other people. I saw them as a team on a cover for Astonishing X-Men somewhere. So that might have me leaning towards that direction. And if I drop Uncanny, maybe I'll pick up another X-book. But I'm not super excited. I'm not annoyed or upset by it. So either or, we'll see.
Brian, what about you?
It's Ultimate X-Men he's going to, right? Yeah, I dropped that after the first issue, and I don't. This guy's not going to make me come back to the title whatsoever. I really just don't care.
He's the poor man's Brian K. Vaughan.
He's the poor man's Brian K. Is that like a serious thing, or is that just...
That's his name, spitting shit.
Because Brian K. Vaughan is the man.
Well,
I'm just going to put that out
he's
there.
He's very similar in what Brian K. Vaughan does, but he's not so good at it.
Okay, so yeah, he is a poor man.
I'm probably more read about his stuff than you guys are.
Brian K. Vaughan?
No, but Brian Wood.
I don't think I read anything by him outside of the one Ultimate X-Men, or not even that issue. I'm not even reading anything by him right now, so, yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to throw an audible once again, and apparently at WonderCon, during the week before WonderCon, we saw the teaser image for Extreme X-Men spelled incorrectly because apparently in the 90s, it's cool to misspell your name. Right, Taser?
Spelling errors are cool!
Awesome.
Cowabunga!
So apparently, Greg Pak, who you know him from World War Hulks and Incredible Hercules, will be taking a new X-Men book called Extreme X-Men. If you read, apparently, it's basically Exiles. Universal hopping mutants from different places going.
I was disappointed when they released the solicit and they didn't show Blink in there with them. That would have been cool. That would have made me want to pick it up.
It's not exactly. I mean, the reason I don't know why they call it Extreme X-Men. You know, because they're not going to be doing 1080 flips and drinking Red Mountain Dew, but rather multi-universal hopping, whatever. Maybe that's just a way for the book to sell, because let's be honest, the last time an Exile book was out, it sold like crap and was canceled after 4 issues, maybe. Maybe they know, hey, Exile isn't going to sell, so let's go extreme. And
well, this is a new cast now, right?
It's basically built off from characters that Greg Pak had introduced in his Astonishing X-Men run, where he had Cyclops meet other X-Men from different universes, like Wolverine, and he's older and more grizzled, even though Wolverine's already grizzled. Less of a pussy.
That sounds so
boring. Nightcrawler looks like
Invincible. Kid Nightcrawler. That's right. Kid Nightcrawler. It's basically here's your little book and let's do what you want. I never really cared about the Exiles. And I don't think this is going to have the same, like, go to different universes, fix them. I don't think it's going to have that same premise. But that's basically in general in what it is, in that you're going to have a team from different universes come together and try to fight something. Not interested. Don't care. There's only two X-Men books worth reading, and maybe this will be one of them one day, but the name alone turns me off. I don't know why you would call this Extreme X-Men when you already have Uncanny X-Force on the stands, for goodness sakes. Taser, what about you?
Wake up, Gramps!
Huh, what?
Grandpa, we're talking about that there Extreme X-Men from the 90s. I mean, the 2000s.
The 2010s.
Ah!
20 books.
Young whippersnappers, my X-Men only had about 7, and one of them was an engine, and he was so awesome they killed him 2 issues later. That was my X-Men. By gum, dad gummit whippersnappers.
Oh my god.
Arnold,
that was awesome.
Arnold, what do you think about this extreme X-Men announcement?
Do not care. I tried to care the last time they did Extreme X-Men in mid-90s or late 90s, I guess, just when I was new and fresh to comics and naive and didn't know what quality was.
You were a fresh-eyed farm girl with a virgin's glove.
And gave up on that real quick and fast. So I honestly have no interest in this book. Like, not even the cover looks pretty just because it's drawn well. But there's nothing about it that's like, oh man, I gotta run out and grab that. Do not care. I will put it on the I'm not buying it shelf that the X Club sits on.
Brian, what about you? Are you gonna be? What do you think about Extreme X-Men?
I'll check out the first issue, but honestly, I don't see myself buying this thing long term.
Somebody's got to, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, this is the guy who buys Battle Scars. Are you buying the Fearless too as well? Are you buying that?
No, I couldn't care less about Fear Itself anymore.
Because I wanted to make sure, because you're already buying one Fear Itself spinoff. We had to make sure if you're buying the other one.
Jesus, I'm not reading Fearless. Okay, that shit is just what. Albeit, it's kind of a misnomer for me, but I'm not reading it, no.
Why is it a misnomer for you?
Because it's got my name in it.
Because I really don't give a shit about Fear Itself. I didn't care a shit when it was happening, so I don't really care now.
All right, fair enough. Well, let's move on to our final news topic, as apparently pretty controversial. Last week, we talked about the possible return of Captain Marvel returning to the universe. Well, Mar-Vell isn't returning, thank the gods, but it turns out...
It's Miracle Man! I knew it! I knew Marvel would not let
Taser,
that light
Taser,
go
Taser,
away.
Taser, 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 it's not Miracle Man. It's not Miracle Man.
No, it's gotta be!
It's not Miracle Man, buddy. I'm sorry, kiddo.
You know, the copy of the copy!
Hey, you wanna go to the cat house later,
Yes.
Okay, we'll go there, then we'll get some ice cream. How does that sound?
Woo! That by gun, that sounds sort of looking good. Tastes awesome. I think.
This is the episode where we do bits.
Yes, we do Russian and old men now.
Anyways, so it turns out it's whether however it's going to happen, a new Ms. Marvel ongoing, not Ms. Marvel, a new Captain Marvel ongoing will be started this July, but not under a male, but under a female lead, as Carol Danvers assumed the role of Captain Marvel. New costume, new haircut, not Butch. Short hair, not Butch. Want to get there. Anyways, it's going to be written by Kelly Sue DeConnick, who, if you don't know, she is the wife of Matt Fraction.
Oh, no, that means she's going to have lady problems. Oh, damn. Damn.
Anyways, and the suit was designed by my favorite artist, Jamie McKelvey, who did the X-Men Season 1 graphic novel that came out.
Is that Jamie as a male or Jamie as a female?
Male.
Okay. Because if it was female, that actually would have explained the costume. Is she like... feminine touches here and there. Like,
he draws hot women because he knows hot women. I've seen. Really? I follow him on Twitter.
Where's so Jim Lee when you need
her
him?
Her in the mask was his art.
Do you want more collars?
That's what anyways, I like it because.
No, wait, not
so
Jim Lee.
People,
no, not.
So many people fucking jump at the throats of Marvel Comics for what? Where's the women? Where's the women? Now you have a book that the female lead is a woman. Two, that the female writer, that a female writer is going to be writing this. We had that with X-23, but unfortunately, nobody wanted to sell it, despite that so many people were jumping at Marvel's throats for lacking of this. This is your second at bat. Hit a home run with this.
What if the stories she tells suck?
We won't.
Come on now.
There always is that option.
What I have to ask, because now we have, granted, it's under a different name, what makes releasing this, what's going to make this Miss now Captain Marvel book different or better or sell better than the Captain Marvel book that came out?
The last one went 50 issues, which longer than X-23 went.
That's almost 5 years. Ooh.
That's a for a female lead.
They tried a Black Widow ongoing once or twice that didn't go anywhere.
Huh?
They tried a Wonder Woman. I'm not Wonder Woman. I'm sorry, Tate. Just mentioned that. Didn't they try a Black Widow?
Yeah, it lasted 7 issues.
That didn't go anywhere. Look at Spider-Girl. Look, you know, granted, I wish there were more books with female characters at the forefront, but they just don't seem to do well for Marvel, and why is it a good idea to put Ms. Marvel at the forefront? Now, you couldn't have kept her book ongoing. Like, did her popularity peter out, so they had to end it? Was it always intended to be 50 issues? That's what I'm curious about. Are they hoping that thing that is Captain Marvel power brought onto her, that's going to bring more people into it?
I guarantee that it will.
If that's indeed how it works. I don't know if she's getting his powers or if she's still like got her whole same powers that she's just going by Captain Marvel now for some other reason.
Well, she has connections to the original Captain Marvel. It's not like an out of the blue thing.
Hey, granted, I was the first to admit I don't know that much about Ms. Marvel at all.
And he didn't have powers. His power came from the Negabands.
Okay.
We don't know anything how she gets the power. We don't really know anything other than this new costume and
the new Captain Marvel.
There's nothing that says her power's in the costume, though.
Right.
Huh? So, let's be real here. All right, she's a female character drawn by a female writer catering to a largely male audience. Now, if she does what the lady who did X-23 did and toss a whole bunch of female issues into her title to, you know, I want to make her organic and, you know, make the reader feel like she's a real person, which a lot of these bullshit writers tend to do in their books, and I won't hold only Marvel to this. DC does it too, you know. Fuck that. I want to see this person kicking ass every panel, or not every panel, then at least every 2.5 panels, okay? Let X-23 go out and on a slaying spree. You know, things need to die. That's the one I want to see doing it because I'm paying for her book, all right? I don't want to see, oh, but I never had my first kiss, and oh, no, I've never had a boy. I don't, who cares? Look, first of all, the percentage of females that buy comics, buy superhero comics, is unfortunately pathetically small. I would like that to be different. You know, don't get me wrong. I could give two shits whether some chick next to me is reading a comic, but I'm all about diversity and I'm all about being fair and equal. However, the reality of the situation is this. The audience that we have, such as it is, and, you know, with a lot of, you know, knuckleheads, you know, reading and growing up to be Jeff fucking Johns, are ones who are buying the book. And that's the audience you pretty much need to cater to. All right, now if you take the book and you try to make it about a real person, that means that you're going to introduce a whole lot of elements that the audience may not give two shits about. You know, sorry as it is to say that. Being as old as I am, I can kind of sort of enjoy some of it, but I'll be damned if they come up with, like, let's say on television, a new version of Ally McBeal. I'm not watching that. All right, I liked it the first time because, to be perfectly honest, Jane Krakowski was funny with all the singing and dancing and shit, you know. And Courtney Thorne-Smith, I love her jawline. Oh. But, you know, they had other characters there and it was funny. But the female issues, oh, my God. I you know, we're talking melt your brain retarded. You know, not that us men are any better. Not trying to go there. Just some of the stuff that were female issues was just dumb. Okay, and I don't want to see that happen here with Carol Danvers. You know, I don't want to see her fretting about boyfriend issues. I don't want to see her, like, they do with, what they did with Power Girl back in the 90s. She's somehow mystically pregnant, you know, and then have to do, Kitty Pryde, hello, there you go. You know, I don't want this kind of thing. I want, hey, I'm a hero. I have a job to do, a universe to save, a galaxy is in peril. I need to handle this.
She just so happens to have a vagina. That's all that is.
That's it. She just won't be peeing standing up. But her problems are problems. I don't, you know, that's the reason why I don't read Spider-Man. Because there's way too many, my life sucks, when I don't have a girlfriend, I can't keep one, and when Aunt May, when, there's too much, no, fuck that! Give me, hey, that thing's eating stuff, and I know the stuff it's eating, they give me money. I need to go stop the thing that's eating the stuff that's giving me money. That's what I want. I want somebody to go in there, fit with a 2x4 against a tank, you know? That's what I want to read. And that's what they need to do. That's what they really need to do with Captain Marvel, you know, because I actually enjoy Carol Danvers as a character. You know, I can't say I read much of her 70s stuff because that was before I started collecting, but I've enjoyed the Binary and a lot of the other stuff that came since, and I'm enjoying her now. So, and even with the new costume, I don't like the shots of her without the mask on. That bothers me for whatever reason. And yeah, the hair, that hairstyle, I don't know, what's that? It looks like a mullet, kind of, you know, with the hair back. That's kind of funny. I'm iffy on it, but they really need to keep it about the heroism. You know, that's all I can say. Just keep it about the heroism. Leave the human stuff to, like, every 50th issue or so, you know. Well, maybe not that, but, you know, for a little diversity, just don't make it balance like that. Yeah, don't. Oh, no. I'll say balance it to, like, maybe 90-10, you know, something like that. Don't make it like Peter Parker. That's all I ask. Just don't make it like Parker because, yeah, I'm not going to read that book.
Well, to be fair, Kelly Sue DeConnick, the last thing any of us ever read of hers was the Osborne miniseries, which...
Oh, was dumb! Oh, that was dumb! Oh, she wrote that? Oh, that was dumb and stuff. She's the one that's responsible for freaking Osborne running around there pulling press conferences and nobody going, hey, aren't you still a wanted criminal?
That was horrendous, but whatever.
No, in the Osborne when he was in jail, right? And when he broke out?
She wrote him while he was incarcerated.
Yeah, exactly. And when he breaks out with all those other criminals.
That was Bendis.
Bendis may have pulled the trigger, but she gave him the gun, dude.
There you go. So, yeah, I'll give her a shot. Like I said, it's Carol Danvers, and I would have read this first issue anyway because I like Carol Danvers, but...
She has a long history in the Marvel Universe.
Who, Carol Danvers or this writer chick?
Carol Danvers.
Yeah, well, I know that, duh, but I'm talking about this
writer. I was speaking to the audience, fool.
Duh! like I said, just make it, don't make it a girl book. You know, keep it about the heroism. That's all I
They should have gotten Ron Mars to write it, and then that would have showed you.
You die now.
Hey, he wrote Witchblade without balancing that, and anyways, let's
he
move on.
He also wrote Hal Jordan going nuts.
That was editor. Hey, another podcast. Brian, thoughts?
Okay, I never really read Miss Marvel before. I only ever read her in books she appeared in as like an ensemble thing. That said, I have always been somewhat interested in the Captain Marvel hero, I suppose, but I've never really gotten around to like reading any material or anything. It's just one of those things at the back of my head, because you know, like I hear about him occasionally, be like, oh yeah, what's up with that guy? You know, what's his deal? And you know, so maybe I'll pick it up, but I don't see myself becoming a regular reader with this. I mean, maybe if the book is surprisingly good, then hell yeah, I'll keep with it. But as it stands right now, I have no more interest in this book than I had in a Miss Marvel book. It's basically just a title change and a costume change. That's about it. That's all it does for me. So
I hear that, actually.
That's about all I feel on. I mean, it is kind of intriguing, I'll give it that, because I know Miss Marvel, Carol Danvers, has that kind of a fucked up history. So, I don't know, maybe I'll keep with it, but I don't see myself, unless I'm really impressed with it, I don't see myself going past the first issue, but Marvel Cosmic has impressed me before, and if this keeps with that tone or something, you know, why not?
Alright, Arnold, I know you already said some things, but do you have anything else to say?
Well, that's about it. Unless I hear some like really good or amazing things about it, I doubt I'm going to be picking it up. The costume looks cool and interesting. I know she's got like the whole mask thing going on. Some people's interpretations, I think the one where it's actually going to be what looks like in the issues of the book, certain angles of it look weird to me, and then there are other drawings that I've seen of it that it doesn't look weird. So I get, it might just be more a factor of who's drawing her to how it's being drawn. But it's an interesting costume. She aside from the big gaping hole, she does kind of look like Comic Girl, especially with the short cropped hair braided in the back, as you mentioned, not Butch, which I thought was highly amusing. But she looks cool. It's just not something I was clamoring for, and I won't be upset if I'm not reading.
Well, at least we can say it's not Mar-Vell. He's still dead. Let's move on to our book of the week, which was Wolverine and the X-Men, number 7. Same team as always. Just like we were talking about the Avengers, this book just keeps getting better and better and better as each issue progresses. The moment, and to me it all capitalizes as the moment when Brew loses his shit because the scientist does it just to prove a point to make him lose his shit, and Beast hugs him and like just tells him it's over. And just like,
it's not your fault. Like,
it's basically the story is the scientist guy has come down specifically for Brew, and the reason he was the one who implanted the thousands of broods inside Kitty Pryde as a distraction so he can find and kill Brew, because he's defying the laws of nature, because you know brood are, he's above the food chain in terms of, it's the scientist guy and then the brood. And so he doesn't like the fact that he's defying nature by going against what he's supposed to be doing, which is killing. And he basically pushes him to the edge, pushes Brew to the edge, and makes him, doesn't kill him, but fucks him up royally. And Brew, like, feels bad about that. He's like, this isn't me, but it kind of is. It's kind of second nature, you know. You are who, sometimes what you come from defines you a little bit. Meanwhile, you still have Quentin Quire and Wolverine getting out of Dodge, and apparently we got a little triangle romance developing between the Warbird. Is that her name? The Shi'ar chick? Is it Warbird?
I don't think so.
The Warbird's Carol Danvers. I'm looking at.
No, she's just like a bodyguard or
Warbird.
Something.
Warbird. It's Warbird. Kid Gladiator's bodyguard. So apparently we got a little romance, because apparently she's turned on when Iceman is Iceman. And of course we got Kitty Pryde making out with Iceman, so you got a little love triangle developing there. And apparently they solved their money issues, because Krakoa can grow his own diamonds. Who'd have thought it?
So he's the Deus Ex Machina of this whole series, then.
I guess.
Not only is he like a rotating bodyguard, but he's also a money machine now.
I don't think.
So.
I think it took him forever to do that, though. Like, I don't think he can do it. But regardless,
they said in the book all they had to do was ask him, and he would have done that.
Oh well, I'm pretty sure they'll find
shit going on with Quentin and Wolverine. Pointless. So I'm sure they're going to be pretty pissed about that, especially considering the way Wolverine's legs look.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's the point. Like, oh, we did all this for nothing.
Yeah.
I think that's the joke.
I'm waiting to see that. Yeah, I'm waiting to see that happen. It made me look forward to it. Because it's the first thing I thought of. Once I saw diamonds dropping out of trees, I was like, oh, shit, we're going to be pissed.
So
hold on, let me break it. You know what that reminded me of? Okay, I kind of have to go back in a way back machine. Before I was born, they had Doctor Strange. They had some stupidness where they tried to give Doctor Strange, like, real world issues, and one of them was, he wasn't making enough money to, like, keep the house. I think taxes were due or some stupidness like that. And the city and the government were coming down on him. And it had, like, it was in the book in its 6 month of that story arc. And the book changed writer. I believe the very next writer came in and they tied a whole thing off. He had Doctor Strange conjure up a bunch of gems and gold. And had Wong cash and stuff. It was like, oh, problem solved. It was like, say what? I popped into my head, because I actually talked to the guy who spoke about that. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, you know what this issue was missing, though? Delusional Angel. It was the one thing that would have made it perfect.
Right. He wasn't in this issue.
Yeah, he wasn't. Or Genesis. Or maybe he was in the... was he part of the attack squad in Kitty Pryde's...
No.
Yeah, it was missing those two, which even then, I barely realized it after. Yeah.
Or did? Oh yeah, Edie was in there. I'm sorry, no, she was in there.
Okay, so it was fun. I mean, this book continues to be, because Uncanny X-Force, let's face it, right now it's kind of not mediocre. That's not the right word. Average. This is the best.
It's your typical comic book.
Yeah. This is the best X-Men book on the stands right now. I said it.
That's not saying a whole lot.
it's damn entertaining month in and month out.
I know I'm not.
It's damn entertaining. I give it a 5 out of 5. And I'm gonna miss.
It's damned entertaining. Damned if you do it. Damned if you don't.
You described my job at Walmart. Arnold, what do you give this review? What do you give this issue?
I'm going to give this issue a 4 out of 5. As you hit pretty much a lot of the high points, and we all interjected, but. It, just overall fun issue. I look forward to this book every month, much more so than I look forward to Uncanny X-Men, as made obvious by my, previous comments on it. But this one was good stuff. I liked it. I'm warming up to all of the characters. I'm starting to get a sense of who they are and, hopefully where they're going to be going. But it's all around fun times. This is the kind of X-Men book that I want, and I hope it keeps up.
So I don't understand what people are saying. It's about the kids. It's about the shit in the school.
Right.
It's not about the extinction team and a blank team out of nowhere. Brian, what do you give this issue?
I thought the issue was very, very good. And on a side note, I just wanted to make a snide comment, I suppose. On the cover where it says, "The X-Men's Strangest Journey Yet, Lost Inside Kitty Pride," and there's so many euphemisms behind it, I really don't know, where to go with that. It tickles my funny bone. But,
her vagina is really wide.
Whoa.
And loose if she uses her power.
What do you give this issue, Brian?
5 out of 5.
And Taser, what about you?
Well, I'll say this. Having read this book, I still really don't care to read the next one. This was just for the show. Wolverine having his legs whatever to him, I don't know what the hell you'd call that. That wasn't much of anything to really say. It was like, oh, look, his legs got messed up. Okay. Kitty, the thoughts of Kitty having to go through a colonic to get the rest of those brood out of her body, that's kind of funny. I'm trying to figure out why Green Chick from S.W.O.R.D. couldn't have come up with that Centaurian stuff to purge the brood.
Because it's a plot device, Taser. Duh.
Yeah, but that's a horribly written one. You should be able to put in, it would have taken us too long to get it to her faster, blah, blah, blah. You put that line in there. Other than that, then you just go, well, where was it before? It's just like, it's just something introduced to do blah. And it sucks, and it's bad writing. It's a fault of the writer, I'll put it that way. The fight inside, Iceman being hit on by the alien chick because she's like, ooh, you could turn into ice. Sexy! that was humorous. I had to admit, like I said, before the show, that shit was funny. Brew and the killer professor, we'll call him, I thought that early exchange was actually pretty interesting, although he said humans eat garbage and brood eat the humans. Now, brood don't eat humans. They infect them and they give birth to new whatevers to advance the race, but I'm not sure that they eat them. So that's just again, another fault of the writer. That doesn't make any sense. Unless,
the only person he even ate was another brood.
See, there you go. the extreme anthropologist, paleontologist, whatever the hell he was, I'll give him it was an interesting way to kind of justify his actions, but yeah, I just, no, I'm sorry, no, not at all, not buying it. All in all, it was okay. Watching Kitty in pain was, tickled a funny bone or two, and having her kiss Bobby because she was just so happy to be out, and I don't know why.
I'm not pregnant. Let's do it.
Yes. and he's kind of like, oh, and then the alien chick's like, eh. You know, that's like, ooh, that could be worth something later on story-wise to somebody who's going to continue reading this book, which I won't be. So I'll give it a 2. You know, I like the art. The art was very good in this. I did like the art, but other than that, no, I'm not touching the next one, so I'm going to power to you.
Hi, hater. All right. Well,
he's been drinking that Haterade.
Well, let's move on to an individual reviews. Since Tate's got his hate on, I'm going to get my hate on with Avengers Assembled number 1.
A lot of hate going around today.
This is the book for the movie cast of the Avengers in continuity. 616666. This was awful.
More money for people who don't know any better. Yay!
I didn't spend a dime. My friend did.
Well, you know better.
My friend.
So I said for people who don't know any better.
I looked at him. I read it. I put the issue down. He read it before me, and I said, "You paid for this garbage? What the fuck's the matter with you? This was awful." This is the fourth time Marvel has launched a book because of a movie's coming out. And for the most part, while I dropped Captain America and Thor, those first initial arcs, they were fun. And I've been reading Iron Man ever since when they launched. This was just awful. I don't like Bagley's rendition of Hulk. I don't like his renditions of anything in this. I liked him in Ultimate Spider-Man. What the fuck has happened to this guy? You know, in the previous books when they launched Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor, they felt like, okay, here's the long-term readers. It satisfied both, in my opinion. This one, I felt like I was being preached to a 3-year-old. I felt like I was getting a sit-down by dad and said, okay, this is this. And this is this. You've never heard a Hulk? Well, he talks like this. It was Hulk talking like an idiot. And I'm not the continuity person, but like I'm thinking, shouldn't he be bearded or something and not wearing purple pants in the desert? You know? Like, if this is supposed to be in continuity, shouldn't you at least play by that rule instead of steamrolling over what somebody else is doing? You know? There's no point to this book existing. The other books prior to this had a point. There is in a world where we now have 5 Avengers books, this book serves no purpose. Because the damn mythical reader, a person who's coming from, they're not going to want to pick this. Because this is awful. Why would you put Mark Bagley on this book? I understand he has synergy with Bendis, but put somebody more... Put somebody better than this. There are better artists than him. I'm sorry. But this is awful. 0 out of 5.
Ooh. Snap.
If you're a Marvel fan, do yourself a favor. Pirate it. And I don't ever say that. No. Don't even pirate it. It's not worth your time. It's not worth your time. Fuck you, Brian Michael Bendis, for putting this shit out. You're better than this. Arnold, review the finale for X-23.
Iteration going around today. For all those who listen to our show, you know, everybody knows I'm an avid fan of X-23, even through some of the not-so-good issues that happened through this series, but... this past week brought us the final issue to X-23 with writing by Marjorie Liu and art by Phil Noto. I really wish they would have kept the artist on before, whose name I almost always mispronounce, but I think it's Sana Takeda. Best artist. I really wish they would have ended that. I really wish they would have done a lot of things with this last issue, like make it good. I'm all for the silent issue if it works, you know, if it's within a story, when we have a death or a funeral, things like that, it works. But for your last issue, you couldn't even be bothered to put words in the fucking book? Why is the writer's name even out in the book if there are no words in the goddamn book? This was just a silent romp of, once again, Laura trying to find herself. She's riding around through the desert. She has dreams of her running around with wolves. and then wakes up and sees a white wolf that turns into some shaman thing who's giving her dreams of her fighting herself, you know, Laura as Laura, and then her looking all gray and dark and evil as X-23 and trying to come to terms with both of those sides, I guess is what they're trying to go for. She ends up naked in the woods, a bunch of people find her, she runs off with the woods, she helps some dude get home, and then rides off into the sunset again. And then we slapped right on it, the end and the beginning. This is a bunch of fucking bullshit. I stuck around for this book, you know, we couldn't have given this character a better send-off. Yes, I know she's apparently going to show up in Avengers Academy. I'm sure she's going to show up here or there in a couple of other books, too. But the best you could do at the end of this, not even the letters page, would you even get, like, a, you know, thanks for reading along, or, you know, here's where Laura's going next, or what the other people have in store for her? No. It's just more advertisements and praise for the unnecessary hell storyline going on in Venom. That's over anyway. I was so upset by the last issue of this book, like, really, really, really incredibly fucking upset. I paid $3. I want words and art. In this book, I only got art and some piecemeal story. Somebody owes me $1.50. This almost makes it feel like, fuck it, it's the last issue. They canceled my book, so I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to try so much that I'm not even going to put fucking words in the book. You get a 0.5 out of 5. I'll give you a half or something. I guess that it's Laura and you made it this far.
Let me ask you this, because as a whole, these 23 issues, would you say it was pretty good?
It was 21 issues.
It was 21.
And that's upset me even more. You had a character named X-23. You couldn't even ended it on issue 23. I would have been okay with that.
That's just OCD coming in right there, buddy.
Yes, exactly. It's me totally being OCD, which is fine. But as a whole, I liked the series. It had some of its ups and downs. I whether it was, like we said, I'm pretty sure I said on the show when I reviewed it, I don't. Whether or not it was to boost sales or not, it could have done without the whole little side romps of the FF, even though it seemed like they were going to become a major driving force in kind of her life, or, you know, if maybe she started palling around with them a little bit. I can kind of see it working in that aspect, but some of the stories, it was hit or miss with the stories dealing with the FF. But as a whole, I liked it. I feel like as long as we started breaking away, which I think we got to, the breaking away from the, oh, who am I, where do I belong in this world, et cetera, et cetera. We can do good things with Laura. We could totally turn her into that ass-kicking person that Taser wants to see, or that we've seen from her in her other issues before when, you know, she was a mindless killing machine. Let's still make
I miss her when she was a violent whore. Fine.
Huh?
I miss her when she was a violent whore.
She was a whore!
But as a whole, I dug it. And, you know, there's a special place in my heart for X-23. There always will be. I don't know if I'm going to pick up Avengers Academy because she's there. I didn't really have much interest in it before, although I have checked it out a little bit and did like what I saw. And I know, Ben, you've been reading it, but I don't know. I'm just upset to see the book go and even more upset that it went in the way that it did.
All right, well, let's go from...
Wait, hold on. Before we move on, I just have a quick question real quick.
Sure.
Wasn't Laura supposed to appear in some, like, Teenage Teen book coming up, or was that scrapped?
I think that's Avengers Academy.
Is that Avengers Academy? Did she show up in that?
Yep.
Does anyone know?
Next, and they're all teenagers in that book for the most part. About more about it than me.
All right. So that was my only
from
question.
From one book to the next book, Battle Scars, which apparently has a tie to one of my favorite books of all time. Take it away, Brian.
Okay, just for reference, has anyone reviewed Battle Scars on this show yet?
Never.
Okay, well, let me just give you a brief synopsis then. 5 months ago, Marcus Johnson was being promoted in Marvel ads as having a huge, earth-shattering secret behind him. We find out in issue number 4 last month that the big secret is, he is Nick Fury's illegitimate son. And the way that happened was apparently
question.
Yes.
The fuck does that have to do with anything? Nick Fury's not superpowered.
Benjamin, I'm getting to that. Right. 30 years ago, I don't know if it's a side effect in the Infinity formula or whatever, but Nick Fury came down with a severe case of jungle fever and got down with a girl named Nia. That produced Marcus. Now, this picks up in the current day when Marcus is a soldier fighting for his country and all that post-fear itself. The storyline is this. Basically, the man known as Orion from Secret Warriors, who led the group Leviathan, has been slowly withering away, dying because of the events of said Secret Warriors series. And I'm not going to tell you what they are because you go and pick that book up right now. You go pick it up now and you buy it and you demand more.
Anyway, basically what happens is Victor is dying, and he needs to survive. And so his first thought is to get a hold of Infinity Formula Tainted Blood. But he can't track down Nick Fury, so he figures out why doesn't he go for Marcus's kid, considering he probably has the Infinity Formula in him. That being said, Nick Fury tries to get to his son to warn him or tell him to run, but it's too late. Victor gets a hold of both Nick and Marcus, and despite Marcus actually escaping, he still gets blood from Nick Fury and reinvigorates himself as the Beast Orion. The Beast has awakened again. And this issue basically ends with Marcus free inside the facility going all first blood on these people, which is actually kind of badass almost, but we'll see more of that come next issue, which caps off the 6-issue miniseries, by the way. So essentially what this book does is it's just kind of a continuation of, it's like half Secret Warriors and half reinvention of, you know, Marcus Johnson. It's an introduction to his character. And the one thing that's kind of thrown me off so far is that we don't really see a future for this guy. There's absolutely no indication he'll be joining the Avengers or S.H.I.E.L.D. or any of Nick Fury's Caterpillar teams, if any of them are still operating. There's no indication he's going to join any of them or what he's going to do once they get out of this little scrap with Orion and Leviathan. So while I do moderately enjoy the series, it was a big bonus point to have Deadpool cameo a couple times, which is pretty awesome. And of course, the Secret Warriors tie-in is A+. But yeah, so far it's just the basic issue I have with the series is that there's no future in it. I mean, you'd think with some of the people they have in the book, like Chris Yost, I think, is the one writing this. Yeah, Yost. Yost is writing this, and I don't know, maybe I expected more from him, but so far there seems to be no future for Marcus Johnson as of yet, which is disappointing considering we're 5 issues in of 6 issues. Depending on how far they're going to take this storyline, I suppose we'll see, because it only, like I said, it concludes next issue. So, as of right now, the issue itself was pretty good. Like I said, a lot of stuff came to light in this issue, unless I've explained and given some more mythology of the whole Nick Fury universe or whatever. So, that was interesting. And I just thought it was a fairly interesting read. Like I said, if you're not terribly interested in this, I wouldn't pick it up because you only get to the real, real good stuff, like, now, so it might be not worth your time. But yeah, I give it a 4 out of 5. I'll give it that. Because it was a good, solid issue. It had a lot of good moments, draws on a lot of elements to make the story work. And it does give you Marcus Johnson, who is interesting to a point, but not, you know, he's not going to be the next big thing or whatever, no matter how much you want it to be. So yeah. There's that. I give it a 4 out of 5. Decent issue. The series overall is good, but it's not necessary. And on top of that, you go pick up Secret Warriors. You go pick Secret Warriors up right now.
So what was Deadpool's tie into this shit?
He was just hot. Apparently, Victor decided to get tired of waiting around, so he hired Taskmaster and Deadpool and a bunch of other guys to go and track Marcus down and eventually bring him in so that he could gut him like a pig and drain his blood.
So did he do anything?
Deadpool, eventually, when he found out the job was double booked, meaning there was more than one mercenary in the job, he flipped his shit and joined up with Marcus temporarily and delayed Taskmaster so Marcus could get away, and that is when Marcus ran into Nick Fury, and the whole thing explained itself.
That's stupid. Let's move on to Avenger with Taser.
I wasted a lot of breath on that explanation, god damn it.
Go full on Amazo with Avengers number 24. Take it away, Taser.
That's just an understatement. I was actually looking forward to this book because due to the fact that I'm not reading, you know, Avengers, but was just dealing with the Secret and New, I missed out on the fact. So, surprise, surprise, there's a whole lot of other stuff that was being played out in regards to Osborn's plan to, you know, remake the way things are done in the world or whatever it is. And you know, this was supposed to be the penultimate part of it. So yeah, trying to figure out exactly how Osborn was able to do some of the stuff that I'd seen him do. Yeah, I wanted to, you know, tap in and, you know, check this out. This should be interesting. And we find out that Osborn had been subjected to a refined version of the AIMS super adaptoid process. Most people,
what?
I don't know how many of you out there. Yeah.
Sounds like someone pulled it out of their ass. I'm just throwing that out there.
I'll say this. The first super adaptoid actually had a shard of a cosmic cube inside of it. and was beating the Avengers, thought it killed Captain America, ran away, and proceeded to get its ass beat by single heroes, you know, each time it came back. Which just shows the problem with having a very powerful villain. You know, well, how do we use a guy like this? I know, let's have him fight Daredevil and, you know, just kind of fall apart. Anyway, we get flashbacks to Osborn going through the process to give him the ability to basically mimic anybody with, like, a genetic ability. Okay, yeah, we haven't seen this before. Mimic. But fine, let's see what Osborn... And Osborn is told that you have to be careful of how much you take in and how quickly. Key point! Warning! Warning! And he's all...
Danger, like, Will Robinson, danger!
Yeah, you know, he's all kind of smug, and he's like, huh, I told this one what I wanted her to know, and I got her to do exactly what I wanted. I am so smart. SMRT. I mean, SMART. A Homer reference. Yeah, this guy's running smug and proud, and he's a flaming retard. And this is an Osborn that I know. I would have figured that Osborn, you know, the man who figured out that, hey, if I hit around a corner and watch Spider-Man swing by, I could follow it home. Brilliant plan. You know,
ingenious.
All the Machiavellian stuff that he was doing when he was in charge of Hammer for like the 2 years our time and 3 months Marvel time. You know, there was none of this here. You know, this was like a, I have power, give me more. Ooh, ha, ha, ha.
I have the power.
General Ross, you flaming moron. He's like, I'll get him. I'm a Hulk. And he's like, hey, thank you. That just, you know, did me a big favor. So, yeah, then they play keep away. And this is pretty much how they defeat Osborn. They play keep away with him. Freaking Storm tosses his ass up really, really, really high. And, you know, the book decides to give us more backstory and dialogue that I don't care about. And he comes back down, and then he's shocked with lightning, and the new girl, Quake, who I had no idea of existed prior to me reading the last issue of Avengers, she's completely new to me. She put a micro mini Quake near his heart. Ooh, she tried to kill him. Ooh. And, it's like, okay, blast him, and he turns intangible. Now, excuse me, I'm assuming that he got that little bit from Vision, but Vision's a synthetic. And there's no in comic or otherwise explanation as to, I didn't read issue 22, so maybe it was there. You know, maybe Simon Williams went and bled on him and he copied that. I don't know. Even that shouldn't have worked, really. But still in all, he got Vision's powers. I'm left going, well, at least the story has ended. And he makes his way, and then a bunch of Storm and crew, they jump and he touches. He's like, just more power. And then the new and the secret, well, I think the secret showed up, too. So it was like all the Avengers with Spider-Man, and they give him power, including Scar. Now I'm like, well, if he got the powers of a Red Hulk, what difference does it make if Scar's there? But yeah, for whatever reason, they all touch him. And Osborn's like, until, you know, you see his face go, and oh, look, Kirby dots rising from his head. That's how they beat him. They overload him. There was no fight. You know, I was looking for a fight. You know, this was just pathetic. And the mop-up is they go back inside and they collect that S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that betrayed him. Cap goes in front of the president and gets, you know, bitch-smacked into staying on the job by Obama. You know, and, which is funny because he tells him, and if you were trying to quit the job, I refuse to accept your resignation. Get the F out and do your job. And Cat's like,
rass and brass in there.
Basically playing at my user ID. Oh! Just kidding.
All snap.
Viper, bum, bum, bum. Viper now has the means to do what she did, what was it, in the previous issue. Take people and empower them with hero abilities. And we see she's got an army of giant men and Hulks and other people that I didn't really recognize. But I think you said that, I think Ig said that this comes into play in the newest Secret Avengers.
Well, the threat that they're dealing with in Secret, I don't think it's tied directly, but the threat that they're dealing with is super adaptoid in nature.
Yeah.
Okay, well, they've got Hulks and giant men wearing, looks like they're copying Iron Man's armor, which is like, okay, whatever. And you know, maybe Hail Hydra,
Iron Man.
So it's Hydra's a threat again. Yay! This was disappointing.
Hydra a threat. That's funny.
You know, I was looking for pain to be dealt. I wanted to see Osborn do something that didn't involve, you know, hey, I'll embarrass you and then walk away cool.
Watch Osborn sink.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to see punches thrown, and it wasn't even. I was just disappointed.
What
happened?
The whole overloading him with power thing. Once they revealed that he was a super adaptoid, and like, you know, one or two other people touched him after that, I was like, oh, I totally know how we're taking down Osborn now.
Yeah. So did I. I was disappointed. I was really disappointed. This book did not, though at least this story didn't finish the way I was hoping, you know? Art was okay. The writing of the story as it was okay. So, and because I'm not reading the next issue, you know, I just picked this up.
Next issue, Simonson.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm really that into it, dude. I'll give it a 3. You know, if you've been reading Avengers, then this should, you know, tie things off for you, and to get you looking forward to Simonson. If you don't read Avengers, you don't really need to. But if you're curious, read it in the store.
Just wait for AVX, folks.
Wait for Simonson.
I get this.
Because you can ignore the word balloons and just look at Simonson's art.
Depends on who is.
That shit didn't work too well for X-23, now did it, Iggy.
The reverse.
Walt Simonson is better than Phil Noto. Fact.
It's the same concept, dude, no matter
it's
the artist.
Fucking Walt fuck you. Anyway,
unless you're someone like Darwin Cook or Alex Ross, you don't get to pull that card.
You know what? I'm doing this.
Kill his mic.
No, we just got him back. I'm never back again.
Anyways, so that's our individual reviews. Let's move on to our topic of the week, which we're going to talk about Russian characters. Obviously, Marvel was created in the 60s at the very, not early stages, we were 10 years at least into the Cold War with Russia. Famous Russian characters include the Red Ghost, Crimson Dynamo, Titanium Man, and of course, my personal favorite, Omega Red. Who's gonna be making his return in Uncanny X-Force this June? Eat me, bitch asses. Anyways,
many issues to burn, so little time.
Will it be the original one or will it be a new one?
It looks like the original one.
Okay.
Like him, it's just different look because of the artist rendition, but it's Omega Red. Anyways, so I was wondering, a lot of these characters, except for Omega Red, who was born right after the Soviet Union collapse. It was either right before or right after, near the fall. A lot of these characters.
Yeah, it was about near the fall.
Yeah, it was.
It was near default.
Yeah, I figured 91, 92, something like that. A lot of these characters were born out of communist Russia. Obviously. So do you guys think that these characters, you know, still work? Do you think they should still be here? You know, in this, obviously we're not on the most friendly terms with Russia, to my understanding. But they're not a communist nation anymore. They're a democracy. So, do you feel like...
Thank you for bringing those world events into our home, Iggy.
Hey,
we were in the dark without you.
They waged war in Georgia. That's not cool.
Yeah, I know a lot
not
of
not your Georgia, Atlanta, though. You probably think it's a state, don't you?
Anyways, I personally think that I haven't seen a lot of them. I honestly think what could happen is new characters can come from Soviet Russia. Ghosts. Because now we're well 20 years after the collapse. The whole big thing now, at least in some people's circles, is sleeper cells. And I think you could have, maybe not necessarily sleeper cells in terms of superhero characters or villains, but like ghosts from new characters from the Cold War era trying to bring that era back or something.
You mean like what Adolf Hitler and the Red Skull did back in the day in Marvel? They had.
But that's Nazi Germany. That's.
Yeah, we're talking about long after World War II.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could still. What I'm saying is, yeah, you could still do that, even though the prime moving force of that which we aren't supposed to like isn't around anymore. You could still have sleeper agents or whatever.
Trying to bring back the Mother Russia, the motherland.
Yeah,
and...
I mean, but there's always, look, you still have neo-Nazis nowadays.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, look, this cell of whatever is back because Sieg Heil! Ach, die Himmel! You know, all the rest of that stuff. You could do the same thing.
Tej is black, it's okay.
Russia, you know?
Why does that do anything?
If I was caught saying that shit, I'd be deemed
a
racist.
Live in Russia.
Yeah, we just drank black Russian.
I was German, though.
But anyway, you could easily do it. That's not really a problem. You know, it's just a matter of ideals. Although it would be interesting to see somebody change their ideals. Like, look at Red Skull. When Red Skull got reborn into Cap's body, he decided, hey, you know what? I'm no longer a fascist. I just want money. And it was actually kind of interesting to see him go about doing it.
Because you can only do the fascist storyline so many times.
Fair enough. All right. But notice how long that lasted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Brian, go ahead.
Okay. Russia. It's got Siberia and shit. I mean, I'm not really concerned with,
like... Do you have
like,
a favorite Russian character?
I guess Colossus, but only because he's really the only one off the top of my head. I mean, Winter Soldier, I guess he kind of counts, like, half. I mean, granted, he is an American, but there's that whole brainwashing and rebuilding process, so... He could count as Russian, theoretically speaking. Maybe. But yeah, I mean, it's just that when you see the most prominent characters who are Russian, they don't really give off the fact that they're like fucking nationalist, you know, heroes. I mean, Colossus doesn't go around singing the Russian national anthem every time he marches into battle. He didn't do that. As if he did that, he'd be off-putting and he'd be axed as a character more than likely. He's more of a symbolic representation, I guess, as part of Russian people, like most of the X-Men actually were back when the giant-size X-Men hit, I suppose. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's almost like the same thing. You know, you don't really see the characters. I mean, you might get like a little brief, you know, a switch to a language here or a natural language here or a cultural statement there. But really, outside of that, there's no real tethering them to their nation they came from, unless they're directly controlled by the government, such as your Omega Red is, I guess. And what's his name? The Russian Iron Man guy. What's his face?
Crimson Dynamo.
Dynamo?
Crimson Dynamo, thank you, yeah. The guys who are directly controlled by the government, they're the only ones who really have any, you know, real, like, I am from Russia, I will crush you with my fist of iron, blah, blah, blah. You know, any of that shit, but, you know, other than that, there's really no need to look to where they come from unless it's directly a part of their character and who they are. You know, like Captain America, he obviously needs America to be a hero or be who he is. I mean, that's debatable maybe on certain levels, but in the long run, he represents America because he's Captain America. And the same thing can be said for Russian heroes if they ever came out with one who directly associated with Russia.
Yeah, the Winter Guard.
Yeah, you know, I guess. I mean, I'm not big on my Russian. I'm not, you know, brushed up on my Russian heroes and villains and whatnot. But as far as I can tell, the ones who I care about and the ones who have remained the public the most don't really go, you know, go marching through Red Square ready to kill the American capitalist pigs or whatever. But yeah, that's just my two cents. I mean, unless it directly affects the character, it shouldn't be a part of the character, really, and it usually isn't. So, you know, that's just my two cents.
And Arnold, any last closing statements?
Yeah, I agree that, you know, they don't really focus on it too much, you know, if anything more from the good guys, because they try to paint it in the good light, and try and break away from that whole Soviet Russia and, you know, all the communism and stuff like that. And I think it's also, like comics do, they change with the times and they change with the climate. You know, back in the day in the 70s, 80s, 90s, whenever the conflicts were going on, it may have seemed like a big deal. Like, you could make that a storyline with, you know, having Black Widow on the Avengers and being Russian, you know, when the climate was like that. It's like, well, can we trust this woman? You know, they even played up her Soviet spy aspect a lot back then. Now,
The spy aspect in her
Russian. Yeah, they know what I'm saying. That's what I was about to say. Like, before it was Natasha Romanoff, Soviet spy, Soviet spy, Soviet spy. Now, if they ever do drop that she's a spy, they don't say American, they don't say Soviet. She's just a spy or even super spy at this point. Or, easier for most people, she's just an Avenger, you know? Comics change with the times, and some characters will change with the political climate and stuff as well. You see the focus kind of draw away from that and start leaning more to where our political climate is. And that's, you know, a whole wealth of issues and topics that we could go on and on about. But I don't think it really is the focus anymore. And as we said, nor should it be. It's good to get references here and there, I think, just so, you know, people remember where they came from. I mean, Colossus, it hasn't happened this much, but Colossus couldn't go an issue or two without mentioning something about Russia or something in that sense, or even in the old cartoons. So, you know, it doesn't come up that often anymore because I don't want to say
it's non-issue. Like St. Paddy's Day. Everyone's Irish that one day, and then no one bothers us to mention it again.
I'm going to say it's a non-issue, but the political climate that we had then when all of those characters were kind of breaking out or just coming to the forefront is diminished compared to what else is going on now.
All right. Let's wrap it up there. If you want to continue this discussion, post on thewarriors3.com. Let us know who's your favorite Russian character, and would you want to see the return of Soviet Russia? Maybe not in the world, obviously. That would be bad, considering we got extremist Iran going on right now. We don't need two at the same time. So
actually, I would think that would be pretty awesome. Come up with not with a hero who's Middle Eastern and not necessarily a token. I would enjoy that very much.
I'm pretty sure it exists. Anyways, so that's going to wrap up episode number 95. Of course, this weekend was officially released my guest appearance on the Bat Podcast, the Bat Pod episode. I was on episode number 12, titled Warriors 3 Crossover. I'm not on it for the host for the entire show. I'm on it for one segment, but it's at the 47 minutes and 30 second mark, where I talk around with the other guys, Batman Jones and or Bill and Nate as their real names are, as we talk to Dark Knight Rises and
crawling your way up to iFanboy, huh, Iggy? Ooh. Slowly but surely.
I don't even know what you know. What dropped? Basically, we talked to Dark Knight Rises, and that led to some casual discussion about Before Watchmen and the Green Lantern movie. If you want to hear me talk about the DC Universe or Batman and my thoughts on the upcoming Batman film, go check it out. And they're a great group of guys. They got a great show running. Support them. Go write a review on iTunes. And I want to do this right now because I know we have a couple new listeners, and I know we have some new people. episode 100 is coming soon. We are 5 weeks away if we stay on schedule, which looks like we're going to. I want your questions. Anything is available. Anything you want to say, anything you want to ask us, you can write us at thewarriorsheer@gmail.com. Send them in. We want to answer as many questions as you want. It's a 100 episode. We're going to do whatever the fuck we want because
this is going to get a lot of porn demands. I'm just
cuz that's how
that
I roll
right now.
So
I have no problem with that.
So there you go. I'm putting the call out. Spider Lantern, Gammer, you two, I want you two leading the charge. Get on Twitter, get on Facebook, let people know. Get the fucking word out. And if you like us, write us a review on iTunes. Spread the love. Let people know we exist. You know?
Speaking of spreading the love, if you've got pictures of your girlfriend or a hot sister, send us those also. Just saying.
And on that classy note, we were going to end episode number 95. We'll be back next week as we go to the ends of the world with episode number 96.
Ugh. To the earth, maybe?
Meh?
Who knows?
By your powers combined, I am Captain Planet. See y'all next week.